A few hours, he would stand before Pilate and then Herod and then hang on the cross. And by this time tomorrow, he would be laid in the grave. And he was using this occasion, as he did many other occasions, to prepare his disciples for what was going to happen. They still thought, even at this time, that he had come to be the Messiah, to come to set up his earthly kingdom. And they didn't understand that that wasn't going to happen for years yet, that he had come for a different purpose than to be the earthly king. And so as he was preparing them, he said something to them that was meant not only to be a comfort for them, but to be a comfort for all of us. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I want to make five statements this morning, five things that I hope will speak to your heart as they've spoken to mine this week. Number one, I want to go to the Father's house. I want to go to the Father's house. I want to go there because the Father is there, and when the Father is present, everything is all right. You know, a father, and those of you that had fathers that are what they're supposed to be, according to this book, you praise God for your dads. Praise God for your fathers. And if you're a father, you be one of those fathers. You pattern your fatherhood based on what Jesus tells us in this book. But a father is somebody that loves you. A father is somebody that takes care of you. A father is somebody that watches out for you. Most of the time, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been or how long you've been gone. It's always good to go home because Dad is there. I think of that story that Jesus told about the prodigal son who took his part of the inheritance and went into a foreign land and wasted it, the Bible says, in riotous living. And he got down on his luck, and he was out in the hog pen feeding the hogs, so hungry that he could eat what he was feeding to the hogs. And the Bible says he came to himself. He says, "You know, at home, my dad's servants have more than I have here. I'm going to go home and I'm going to tell my dad I don't deserve to be a son anymore. Just make me one of your servants." And you know the story. He headed home and his dad was watching for him, waiting for him to come, praying for him to come home. And when he saw him at a distance, the Bible says he ran to him, threw his arms around him and hugged him, put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on his back, and told his servants, "Kill the fatted calf, because this my son that was lost is home again." You see, it didn't matter to that dad what his son had done. It didn't matter that he had wasted all of his inheritance. What mattered was his son was home. And when there's a dad in a home that is like the father and the prodigal son, everything is all right. I got to visit with my dad this week. His health is failing. And my mom says that his mind is not far behind. And I know what, that was a joke. You can laugh at that a little bit. But he's beginning to forget things and different things. And I know if the Lord tarries, that maybe one day I'll have to take care of him. But I want to tell you about a father this morning who always loves you, a father that never grows old, a father that never loses strength, a father whose eyesight's never dimmed, a father whose health never fails, a father whose mental capacity never lessens. Let me tell you this morning about a father who loves you more than you can understand, who always loves you, who will always take care of you, who always watches out for you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, no matter how far you are away from his will. If God is your father this morning, you want to go with me to the Father's house, because where the Father is, everything's all right. Again, you thank God for your earthly fathers, but thank God we have a Father in heaven, and he's waiting for us to join him. I want to go to the Father's house because not only the Father is there, but Jesus is there. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and he's there, sitting at the right hand of God. I read something this morning, or this week, brother, or not this morning, this week. Did you ever stop and think what form Jesus is in heaven? I mean, we think of him as being a spirit, but I read something this week that made the point that he's not a spirit. He is in the bodily form that he had on this earth, sitting beside the Father with wounded hands, wounded feet, a wounded brow where they put the crown of thorns on his head, a wounded side. He's sitting there beside the Father as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And every time one of his children wander off, get into sin, he just lifts up his hands. Father, that's under the blood. It's under the blood. Maybe he points down to his feet. I died for that one as well. I died for that one too. I want to go to the Father's house because Jesus is there. My friend who loves me. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm glad God didn't wait till I deserved it before he loved me. I'm glad that God did not wait until I had cleaned up my life and turned over a new leaf before he loved me. I'm glad that he loved me when I was in the depth of my sin. And he proved that love to me when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place. I want to go to the Father's house because the Father's there. I want to go to the Father's house because Jesus is there. I want to go to the Father's house because it's a place that he's prepared for me. You know, I sometimes read the story of the Israelites and wonder how they could not want to go into the promised land, how they could not want to go to that place that God had prepared for them. You see, I'm the kind of person that don't like to miss anything that somebody's made for me. I mean, Donna Ray, you know, I haven't had my pecan pie this year yet. A hint, okay? But I don't want to miss anything that somebody's prepared for me, and I sure don't want to miss what God has prepared for me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He wasn't talking to us as a mass of people. He was talking to his disciples and to us as individuals. Jesus is in heaven this morning preparing a place for you as an individual. You listen to me, that excites me. I don't know about you. Jesus knows me better than anybody else. He knows me better than my parents. He knows me better than any of you. He knows me, and he is in heaven this morning preparing a place for me. I don't want to miss it. The Bible talks about it being a mansion. I don't care if it's a mansion or a shack. I just want to be there in that place that Jesus has made for me. I can't wait. Butterfingers without calories. Banana pudding without cholesterol. Boy, Brother John, it's going to be good, isn't it? Amen. I don't want to miss a bit of it because it's been prepared for me by my Savior. I want to go to the Father's house. Number two, I don't know the way. I'm like Thomas. Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Bible says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. You know, if it was up to me and I had to describe the way to heaven, I mean, again, with my wisdom and my understanding, I would tell you, I think we got to do something. I mean, you don't get nothing. You don't get anything for nothing. I mean, that's one lesson my dad taught me a long time ago. It's been proven over and over to me. From a man's standpoint, from our wisdom standpoint, you would think that to get to heaven, we'd have to pay something or do something or be something. But I remind you this morning, the way to the Father's house has never been being good. The way to the Father's house has never been joining a church. The way to the Father's house has never been about giving something to God. It's never been about paying something to God. It's never been about doing something or being something. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast." You listen to me. If the way to the Father's house was being something or doing something or paying something, how much would it take? None of us could pay the price. None of us could be what we need to be. None of us could do, if there was some requirement, none of us can meet it. And I'm so glad the Bible says it's grace, grace, grace. God made it so easy because he wants everybody to go. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he wants you to come to his house. He wants you. He's got a place. If you're not saved, I don't believe he started preparing a place, but if you get saved this morning, he'll start the minute you say, "I do," or "yes" to Jesus Christ. He'll start. And by the way, there's room in heaven for everybody. Everybody. Don't let somebody tell you, "Well, heaven's already filled up. There's no room for me." No, 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 no. There's room for everybody. Number three, listen closely. Jesus did not come to show us the way. Say, "Preacher, I thought that's why he came." No. He didn't come to show us the way. He came to show us God. He came to show us God's love. He came to share God's mercy and God's grace. He came to talk about the judgment of God. He talked about hell more than he did heaven. I believe hell is a literal place. It's not a state of mind. It's a real place, just like this place is a real place, just as real as heaven. And I believe all those that reject Jesus Christ as their Savior and never ask him to be their Savior, if they die, will go to hell. There's no second chances. Once you enter hell, you're there forever. It's eternal. Hell was not made for us. It was made for Satan and all his angels. Those are things that Jesus came to tell us about. He did not come to show us the way. It wasn't like being this disciple where he said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I'll show you." He did not come to show us the way. Number four, he came to be the way. To be the way. John the Baptist introduced him, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You see, we're all sinners. And that sin separates us from God. That sin breaks up the fellowship that God created us for, that he wants to have with every single person. And that sin, that's the price of sin, being separated from God. And the Bible says that that's what we owe. That's our sin debt, being separated from him. But when Christ got ready to go to the cross, God up in heaven took every one of my sins and every one of your sins, and he laid them on his son. And when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus paid the price for my sin, and he paid the price for your sin. That time of darkness when the sun refused to shine for that 3-hour period. And again, I don't know if it was for the whole 3 hours or just a few minutes. It doesn't make any difference. But when the sun refused to shine, God the Father up in heaven saw Jesus and saw all of our sin upon him. And he turned his back on his only son. Jesus, remember in that time, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was that moment, it was that time that Jesus was paying the price for my sin. He was separated from the Father. He was suffering hell. I know hell is a place of fire and a bottomless pit, and the worm dieth not. But what makes hell hell is the fact that God is not there. That's what makes hell hell. And that's what Jesus suffered when he died on the cross. God the Father was separated from his Son. And he died, and they took him and laid him in a grave, and he was buried for 3 days and three nights. But up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. You listen to me, Jesus is alive today. He is no longer in that grave. He is in heaven. In the body or out of the body, I don't know. I got to study it some more. But he is in heaven this morning at the right hand of God, our advocate. And he sent the Holy Spirit back to woo us to him. Woo us to him. He did not come to show us the way. He came to be the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Number five. Come and go with me. Come and go with me. I'm going to the Father's house. I don't know when it'll be. Might be today. Might be tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be by death or I'll live until the rapture. One of those two ways, I'm going to the Father's house. I want you to go with me. Again, God wants you to come. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So let me ask you this morning, where do you want to live when you die? Say, preacher, I don't know that I am going to die. Oh, yes, you will. You will. I heard this week about a lady that was 114 years old, died. I also read in the paper about a little baby that died. See, it doesn't matter how old you are. One day, if the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. Where do you want to live when you die? There's only two choices. You can go to the Father's house and live with God, or you can go to Satan's house and live with him. That's only two choices. You just don't die and cease to exist. You're going to live somewhere forever. Only two choices, heaven or hell, God's house or Satan's house. Where do you want to go? You're going to live there forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. I told you I got to visit with my dad this week. I can get to his house 100 different ways, 1,000 different ways. I can only get to God's house one way. Just one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't get there by being good. I can't get there by being baptized. I can't get there by joining the church or taking the Lord's Supper. All those are good things, but they won't get me to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you know him this morning? Is Jesus your Savior? Have you asked him and told him that you were a sinner and that you were depending on him to take you to heaven? Would you trust him this morning? That's all you got to do is trust him. Just trust him. Just trust him. Nothing else. Just trust him. If you're here today and you've never done that, we invite you to do it. That's what all this is about. I mean, yes, it's good to fellowship, and it's good to enjoy the singing, and it's good to, you know, to have fun. But what this was all about, what this church is all about, is telling people how to get to heaven. Telling them about Jesus. And then after you receive him, helping you grow. So you can go out and tell somebody about Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it all boils down to. Do you know him? Why walk out of this place this morning without knowing Christ as your Savior? Why would you do that? I cannot think of one good reason. Say, well, preacher, you don't know. I knew a Christian that wasn't all they were supposed to be. Really? They're human. They are human. Don't put your eyes on other Christians. Put your eyes on Jesus Christ. He will never fail you. Never fail you. So I'm taking that reason off your list. What's your next one? Huh? What's your next one? I'll take that one off the list too. And the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. You absolutely have no reason. If you're not here, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have no reason not to come to the Savior. Would you come? Would you come? Let's pray. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you for making it available to every single person. And I pray this morning, if there's just one person here that doesn't know Christ, today would be the day. Today would be the day they come and admit that they're a sinner, and know that there's a penalty for sin. And I pray, Father, that you would help them make that decision. If there's Christians here that you've spoken to about something else, maybe there's somebody here that's been saved, never baptized. Maybe there's somebody here you've spoken to about joining the church. Maybe there's somebody here that just needs to come and get on their face at this altar and get things right with you. I pray that you'd help them to do that. Help us to use this time that you've set aside. And Father, help us draw closer to you. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.